Welcome. This is Tari 24/7. Took a little break, slow season, but listen, we're gonna try to get you guys back in the mix, right? And you know, it's a slow season. We'll pick it up as the season comes on. Make sure to subscribe to the Tari 24/7 channel on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We're on all of that. Without further ado, I want to welcome in my guy Noah Weisskopf. How are you doing?
Doing well, enjoying some of the time away. But hey, baseball's got everyone at Tar Heel 24/7 pretty busy. So not really a slow season, especially in this modern era of college athletics. But it's been fun. How are you?
I'm good, man. I forget you're like all encompassing. So like you're doing it all. So that's kind of fun. So let's just rewind, right? First year, Tar Heel 24/7 covering all things UNC. How has it been covering the University of North Carolina?
It's been good. I mean, no shortage of news, that's for sure. When, you know, I jumped into it, it was covering Bill Belichick and the football program. We knew there'd be no shortage of news there. And then jump into basketball season, and I didn't realize that the end of the season, I don't think anyone did, the end of the season would be what it was with a new coach and everything, and he hit the ground running and a pretty much new roster for the most part. So it's been quite exciting, as it should be for, you know, a lot of Carolina fans as well. But it's been very exciting getting to know a lot of people down there, the relationship building aspect of it, and following everything along. So it's been great. It's been a blast, and definitely keeping me busy, keeping me on my toes.
I don't want to like jinx us. You would go to Omaha, right?
Yes, likely. Ooh. Going to Omaha as long as they can get past Texas A&M. So they got a best of three series in front of them. So if they win that, then they'll be on their way. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. So this is basketball, Tar 24/7. So we're going to take a little break from the baseball and the Belichick and all that fun stuff. And let's just get right to it, right? Starting five kind of projections. I know you're focused on a lot of other things, but do you have a projected starting five? I mean, look, I'll do the consensus, which is just what I'm off the top of my head, and we can play from there. Terrence Brown, Matt Abel, Av Dallas, Jaren Stevenson, and Alexandro Samardurov. I hope I said that right. What do you think about that?
I think that's close to the general, you know, sort of what everyone's feeling. I think Seyon Keita could be a guy that also starts at the five. I think between him and Samo, I think one of those two will get the nod, obviously, at the five. But yeah, I think the top four there is pretty solidified with Terrence Brown. Matt Abel is a big win for them, being able to get him in Chapel Hill and not go into the NBA draft. And then Jaren obviously coming back, and Av Dallas, who they're really, really excited about, the Virginia Tech kid. He's very versatile, can do a lot of different things for you. So having him sort of slide in there, and I don't know necessarily if they'll be, hey, you're a three. I think it's more so like playmaker, playmaker, playmaker. So I think that's their vision with Av Dallas, but I know they're really excited to get him on the court. He's already in Chapel Hill, has been working out in the Smith Center. So he's already down there getting some work in on the court there. But yeah, I think that's the general consensus top four, starting four. And then you look at the five, it's either going to be Samo or Keita. We just haven't seen a lot of them since they're both international guys.
Yeah. I saw a few clips of Av Dallas. I saw him play against Jaren Stevenson. He's bigger than him, looks like. And he's got the Luka Doncic lion on the forearm. Okay, I see what he's trying to do. Listen, I'm down. I'm with it, right? And then I think from a perspective of roster building, he can bring – I mean, when I saw him play Virginia Tech, they put the ball in his hands a lot to create for their scorers. Yeah. And with Terrence Brown especially being a 20-point-per-game scorer, I think it'll be awesome for him to get off the ball and be able to come off actions and screens. So I think he's probably one of the more, if not the most important kind of piece in this, you know, on this team, really.
Yeah, I do think that they'll put the ball in his hands a lot as well. And I think having a guy like Matt Abel to set up and get him open and get him good looks from beyond the arc is going to be important, because outside of Matt Abel, there's not a ton of proven three-point shooting when you look at Terrence Brown, Av Dallas, Jaren, those guys. Yeah. He's there.
Very right? True.
But potentially Av Dallas is the guy that can get them the open looks and can get them you know, the ball going through the hoop from beyond the arc. But I do think that the Av Dallas and Matt Abel connection, I'm really excited to see how that plays out. And then, yeah, like you said, Terrence Brown scored 20 a game. I know it was at Utah, but that's a power program, right? And so they were able to get the ball in his hands a bunch. He's able to get downhill. finish at the rim. So that's going to be really important for them as well. I'm also excited to see sort of the depth, because I do like a couple of their depth pieces that they brought on. Obviously, retention was big. Isaiah Dennis, a lot of people are really excited to see what he can do on the floor this year. Jaden Young, you kind of know what you're getting. Those two guys as your backup guards as of now. Haven't made any more additions. But then Kevin Thomas is someone that I'm extremely excited to see. A kid that was committed to LSU, and then with the Will Wade stuff, ended up reopening and committed to Carolina. So that's exciting as well. And then Maximo Adams is someone that they're also excited about. A kid that can really shoot it from beyond the arc, and a kid that's got a big, big frame as well.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think, you know, I'm looking at the top 25 projections, and you know, this lineup, with this lineup projection, and you don't know in college basketball, like, I mean, if it's one sport you don't know what's going to happen, it's definitely college basketball. So I also like the fact that we're kind of under the radar a little bit in how this team comes together. You know, will be interesting to see, you know, with the players and the pieces and the foreign guys and Coach Malone. Curious, like, Carolina fans, you are in the mix. Like, what's a good season right now? Like, where people are gonna be like, okay, look, you know, we like what we did this year. What would be a good season, you think, in your expectation wise for Carolina basketball this year?
I mean, I don't think there's no reason as to why, and Carolina fans won't lower their expectation just because it's a coach. Like, hey, it's not like, hey, well, you know, I get it, new coach. You know, let's try to finish middle of the ACC. Let's do that. Like, they want to win it. And so I think that that's the way that this roster was constructed, was, hey, we want to go win this thing. And so they have a lot of talent. Malone has brought in a lot of guys. There's been some cool sort of narratives that I've started to pick up on of the first, I guess, really 60 days, which we'll have more of on our site. The first 60 days, some of the narratives that have shaped what Malone has done with the coaching staff, with the program, with the players, all those kinds of things. But this is not a roster built to, hey, let's try to compete in the ACC. This is a roster built, hey, let's win the ACC and let's go deep into March. And that's ultimately what Bubba Cunningham and Steve Newmark wanted to do when they hired Malone. This is pretty clear for them. They made the expectation super clear at the introductory press conference when Bubba pointed up at the rafters at the national championship banners and said, hey, we want, like, that's what we brought you here for. And I think that's pretty clear. And that's starting in year one under Mike Malone.
Yeah, you know, you've seen the trend of college basketball. I mean, look at Florida's roster of just bruisers and just massive dudes in the middle clogging up the paint, rebounding. I mean, I think the formula in college basketball right now is if you can get back 40% of your misses, you're going to be pretty good. We don't have that, which worries me a little bit. I mean, you know, if we can play space and pace type game to counter it, sure. But you saw the formula, even Michigan. I mean, they're going to have three guys. I mean, there were three. Listen, those measurements, Michigan had six, it's essentially 3 6'10 guys on the front line.
Yeah.
Like, insanity. So do you think that'll be an issue? And then, you know, obviously as the year goes on, you know, you prioritize how this kind of, we got Vesar, right? Like, we suck down low. Let's go get the most expensive big out there. So do you think that could be an issue, the girth of this team? Because we have the length, obviously, and the size.
Yeah, I think that the size is going to be one of the most important things because they do have a lot of size, right? I don't know off the top of my head how much everyone or their heights, but I know Jaren is around 6'10", Kita's around 7 foot, Samo is around 7 feet, Maximo was what, 6'7" or 6'8"? He's up there as well. Same with Kevin Thomas. So these guys have a lot of untapped potential and a lot of the physical traits that you look for when you want to develop some of these guys. Like a guy like Tevin Thomas, I've heard a ton of rumblings about, like, this is a kid that's sort of flying under the radar because of the talent that they've already brought in before him through the portal. But this is someone that is really highly touted, someone that NBA scouts definitely are intrigued by because of his sight or because of his size and because of his ability to shoot the three ball, to score the basketball, all those kinds of things. So I think that height is going to work to their advantage without a doubt. And I think that's something that in this modern landscape that has worked for a lot of teams is, hey, let's get a bunch of guys that are big, they can bang down low and those kinds of things. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see, but definitely the size advantage that they'll have is shaping up to be pretty significant. And hey, Michael Malone had that in the NBA. And so we'll see if he can sort of translate that similar play style at Chapel Hill.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, when I kind of look up and down the roster, I mean, even though we may not have necessarily the most experienced bigs, I think size-wise and versatility, I think down low, we're pretty stout. I mean, you know, he'll have a lot of combinations. I kind of worry about the 1-3 spot, the perimeter with Dennis and Jalen Young. We don't really have much else after that. Do you think that could hurt us or, you know, they roll the ball out and see what happens?
It certainly could. I feel like that's the number one question right now is like, okay, we have the roster. We're looking at it. Who is their backup guard? Are we going to look at an Isaiah Dennis and trust him? Is he going to take the step? Is Jaden Young going to sort of revert back to Virginia Tech Jaden Young and have some of those games in the second half of his season? He scored, I think it was over 31 game. That's a guy that's proven that he can score in the ACC. Is he going to be able to prove to be consistent for you? He never really had that opportunity last year. Those are really the two question marks behind Terrence Brown and even like a Matt Abel kind of guy. But really just Terrence Brown is their true guard on this roster. So after that, there are some questions. Malloy Smith is coming in. It's pretty unclear how much he's going to play, if at all. But yeah, I think down low is where they're really deep. We haven't even mentioned Cade Bennerman, the transfer they got from Northwestern, who didn't, I think, 7 feet as well. He didn't play a minute at Northwestern last year because of an illness. So I think that'll be interesting to see how he fits into this. I think they view him more, if I had to guess, as like a developmental piece, someone that they can bring along. And then maybe in a couple of years, if they can retain him, he can be a really big force for them at the five. So I do think that if there's any question with this roster right now, there's two things. I think one, it's the backup guard position. And two, it's the consistency. If you're going to get consistency from beyond the arc, I think those are the number two things.
I think Jalen Young's going to be really good this year. I mean, he it's tough because his minutes were so inconsistent. And, you know, but you saw flashes and, you know, he played sparingly, but in the lineups that he were placed in, they were rated pretty high offensively. And I'm just saying, he's the common denominator for a couple of those. So, I know he was pursued by a lot of schools this year.
Yes.
A lot of schools pursued him. So, I think North Carolina did well to kind of understand, like, okay, maybe this is a guy we need to retain. And him coming off the bench being the guy, I think you're going to see him blossom comfortable in the system. It's going to be fun, man. Like, I mean, Kentucky gets Momchilovic. Like, what in the world is going on in Lexington? And just the movement. Overall, man, college basketball is in a race, but I tell people all the time, I work mostly in college basketball CBS. I do some NBA stuff, just did actually before I got on here. And the buzz and just the view of what college basketball is pretty cool.
It's in a fun spot. It's in a really fun spot. Looking especially at some of the other schools like Louisville, all of a sudden now they're spending like crazy in the portal. And now I've seen some like pre top 10 college basketball rankings and they're like in the top three. It's like, fun. It's going to be a blast. And I think there's a lot of excitement and rightfully so in Carolina, having a guy like Michael Malone, who has NBA experience, all those kinds of things. I think that's part of the excitement. And a lot of players have sort of made it and insinuated that, look, like, it's really important to us that Malone has seen what it takes at the NBA level, because he knows I want to play for him, those kinds of things. So really exciting and rightfully so, really exciting times for Carolina basketball.
Yeah. And you know, I think that's going to help recruiting, because, you know, I know Coach Williams wasn't necessarily an NBA guy, but let me tell you something. He had every guy's number, and trust me, people were calling him. Hey, what about this kid? What about that kid? He had relationships with GM. So I think Coach Malone is the same way. I think you come there, you play hard for him, you do the right thing. He can make some phone calls. I used to always laugh. I don't know if you noticed, why always UNC guys sneak in that back half of that first round? It's not because of Carolina. It's because of those connections and what you did for a guy that is trusted in the industry. So, I think this is only the beginning. I think if Carolina's brand, I think people are waiting to see their brand and style of play. If the style of play and the brand of basketball is fun, i.e., kind of like a Louisville type of thing, even how Kentucky plays, you know, that school down the road, right? That type of brand of basketball. I think the floodgates will open, because at the end of the day, I still think kids want to come to Carolina. If you put all four brands up and said, hey, all's even, we're going to give you $10 million. You go any school you want to go to. It doesn't matter. If you could pick the coach, you could pick the administrator, the campus, Carolina's going to win. I've been to all those schools respectfully. There's nothing like it. So hopefully we get it rolling.
I will say the one thing I really like what Michael Malone has done this offseason is utilizing what he has in terms of the guys who already understand Carolina, right? Mm-hmm. So he made it important to retain Sean May, Pat Sullivan, Eric Coots, Jim Tanner is still there, the general manager. So he has those guys that he can lean into. And I've seen and what I've noticed from what he's done in his first two-ish months on the job is really lean into those guys. And he's also brought some other people that have experience elsewhere, like a Chuck Martin, who's been under John Calipari and been at Oregon, those kinds of things. And then also a Brian Sabaldi, who's been at Providence, spent some time in the NBA. So I like what he's done with the staff in terms of keeping some of that Carolina stuff there, but also going in the NBA realm and wanting other people from around the country that have seen it be done differently. So I think those are all really important things. And he's using those connections to build out his first roster. Because the reality is Michael Malone does not have a bunch of connections. When he first started, he didn't have a bunch of connections to the college game. He just didn't because he'd been in the NBA for so long. So he's using those guys that do to sort of catch him up to speed and build out this first roster. And I think they've done a pretty good job.
And then Deion Thompson also, he's on staff now. And Deion, I mean, A1, A-plus hire. When I was a freshman, he was a guy that literally carried on the torch, taught us how to be a champion, how to be a professional, what you need to do as a team. Every day brought the energy, even when he didn't have it, right? Like, brought the energy, brought the vibes. When we were struggling that year, he brought us together as a team at his house one night. We all just kind of hung out and just talked and chatted and had a good night. So, you know, I that hire, people aren't talking about. I lived it. I've seen him. One of the best people.
Yeah.
Had one of the best pro careers out of any Carolina basketball player. You know, maybe not from an NBA perspective, but for years in the leagues and where he's been. I think he should be a soundboard for any kid there. So I'm excited about what's around, man. It'll be interesting to see how that kind of portrays. And also, I've been trying to get a staff guy. I mean, Hoots, any coach, man. I'm going to say it right now on the pod right now, man. Like, listen, we need somebody to come on from the staff. Coach Malone, y'all send the clip out to him. Hoots didn't text me back today. Yeah, I'm calling you out, Hoots. Hoots didn't text me back today. All I've done for Hoots in my career, I can't even get a text back to come on and talk about his Carolina, experience and what he's got going on. And people want to know about him. Like, people want to know Eric Hoots. They hear the name, and he's a great guy. Like, he's an awesome guy. If you want to say bleeds Carolina blue, like, I mean, literally, I'm not even trying to, like, his house has a Carolina basketball gym. Like, that's how serious it is. So this is my public cry.
Hey, he's a busy guy. And they also, we didn't even mention, they also brought on Brandon Robinson as a graduate.
B-Rob, yep.
So Michael Malone on his staff has somebody that's been a part of each of the last, I think, four national title teams at Carolina. Mm. He's keeping that identity. He's keeping that.
Yep. So look, man, that's my cry. Listen, can we get someone in the administrator to staff? When y'all hear this podcast, send the clips out because they listen. Everyone listens. Trust me. I've had multiple coaches, executives, people on the staff and the administration say, look, man, thanks for the kind of things you said. Or thanks. So they're listening. Noah, so you got anything you want to say? You good?
I'm leaving this to you. This
Don't
is
be scared,
a
bro. You. Don't be scared. Don't worry. I got you, bro. You got me. You know what I'm saying? So anything else?
I do think you would have a fun time with Eric Hoots on here. Based on hearing some of, I'd like to hear some of the stories from when you were there.
And I mean, Eric Hoots has been like there from like, I mean, listen, he's probably got some crazy stories, some good stories that the people would want to hear, even about his journey, you know, just moving up in the ranks. So look, that's my public cry. Hope it gets sent out. I may send him this episode. I'm going to have Grant clip it up to where, and I'm going to send him this clip exactly what we talked about. So, but look, know you're a busy man. Got a lot going on. Baseball's kind of running hot right now. Just want to say thank you for coming on, man. And such a short notice. I appreciate you. If you need anything, I'm not saying it because we're on a podcast. Call me. And I still need my 24/7 pullover.
We're working on it. We're
I got
working.
The hat though. I got a hat.
Oh, you did. And you're not wearing it on the show.
Man, look, they said that hats, you know, hats, I can't wear a hat, so I'm not going to wear a hat, but maybe one day, right? You know, maybe one day.
I hope you wear it out to make sure everyone knows this is where you okay. are.
I got you, man. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
And as always, thanks for watching on YouTube and listening wherever you get your podcast. Be sure to check out TarHeel247.com for the latest wall-to-wall coverage on Carolina Athletics. Ooh, we might need to get T-Hands. I'm going to call T-Hands, man. See you guys next time.